Support for the Cannon Fire podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at BetOnline.ag. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And of course, they've always got the online casino, which never closes. So head over to BetOnline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Once again, BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.
Yeah, Big Nasty Hall of Fame Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, baby.
This is Mike Allstott, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to the Cannon Fire Podcast.
Cannon Fire Podcast, brother. You ain't listening, and you're missing out. Woo!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast, live on YouTube today for episode 181. We have got some Buccaneer developments, some roster moves the day before the NFL draft. We'll talk to you about that here shortly. But welcome back to the show. I'm your host, as always, Rhett Matthew, joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host, the Philly Bucks fan himself, Mr. Evan Wanish. And of course, we are not alone. Joining us today, you know him well. The man needs no introduction, so he's not going to get one. Let's go ahead and get into this. No, I'm just kidding. Mr. Bucks Nation on YouTube, our good buddy James Hill. James Moneybags Hill. Anything I can think of to call him. There's your introduction. Don't say I don't do anything for you. Shout out to our people hanging out in the live chat. I see our buddy Nestor Cervantes is in here. Pac-Man 504. Fresh the Killa. Willie Beeman holding it down. First moderator in the room, I see. So, boys, we've got some news. We have got some Buccaneer news. First and foremost, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have agreed to terms with Antonio Brown on a one-year deal. Pen has not been put to paper just yet, but it's the one-year deal I think we expected AB to get. The numbers look like this. It is a deal worth up to $6.25 million, but it is $3.1 million guaranteed. $2 million of that $3.1 million comes from a $2 million signing bonus. So Antonio Brown is playing with a salary of $1.1 million in 2021. But the most important part, he is back in red and pewter. A great signing for the Bucs, and just another staple of what's made this offseason so special. I mean, consistency like this from a team that just won the Super Bowl at this rate, and signing everybody back and keeping the team together, it seems almost unheard of. But, Evan, your thoughts on AB coming back?
Booming, right?
Yeah.
That's what business is. This was very unexpected to me at this point, just because at this point in the process, I thought they'd wait until the draft and maybe they got some intel that some of their guys wouldn't even be there and they didn't really love it. So they were like, okay, might as well do it right now. I think this definitely probably eliminates a wide receiver at 32. I wouldn't say it eliminates it in the second or third round because it's still just a 1 year deal.
Right.
But I would say at 32, if you're drafting a guy at 32, like he's going to be at best probably your fourth wide receiver. Like I doubt that. So I would doubt they draft one at 32 now, but I do think that it's a good deal. It's what the Bucs always just kind of wanted. You know, Antonio Brown was looking for $7-8 million a year. Didn't quite get there. The Bucs wanted a little bit lower with less guarantees, and they got that. So I think both sides are happy, and it's nice to have him back.
Yeah, and with the news less than a week ago of that case that was over his head being settled on, you kind of expected something to happen sooner than later. Personally, I thought it was going to be after the draft. I think all three of us did too. But clearly the Buccaneers had a number they wanted to pitch at him. Maybe Brady was able to, you know, finish and seal the deal at UFC 261 the other night when they were hanging out. But AB back in red and pewter. Your thoughts, James?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's what everybody expected for weeks and weeks now. Like Evan said, not a little weird for the timing. You know, I guess signings can happen at any point, but I'm honestly surprised this didn't happen sooner, but obviously with all the, you know, off the field stuff getting cleared up a little bit, some more clarity in those situations, that paved the way for something like this to get done. You know, Rick Stroud had even said literally as soon as the news came out that, you know, some of that off field stuff had gotten cleared up, he said, you know, look, it's going to happen soon here, you know, and it did. So like Evan said, this is a good move for everybody involved. I mean, this is where Antonio Brown wants to be. It's honestly where he should be, considering, you know, the people around him in terms of making sure that he's able to stay focused on the field and off the field, hopefully as well. You really have all the guys around him with Brady, Arians, you know, some of the other leaders, both on the coaching staff and in the locker room. So it was a move that made sense, you know, from the jump for everybody involved. And it's just continuing to add everybody back. You know, now it's like, if it wasn't already official, it's officially official. Everybody's back, which has just made, you know, Twitter freak out even more. Which is always fun to see. So, yeah, overall solid move.
Oh, yeah, man. Checking in with the live chat, our guy Fresh the Killer has a question about Tyler Johnson. Does the re-signing of Antonio Brown ultimately hurt his playing time? And I feel like it's, you know, a simple yes is the short answer, but the long answer, I'm going to toss it over to you, Evan. What do you forecast for Tyler Johnson this upcoming season? Because I know we talked about, you know, the possibility of AB possibly not being here, not really knowing what the Bucs were going to do with that pick at 32 if they wanted to go wide receiver, because you have to think now that you're going to have both Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin free agents this time next year. So what do you think that that leaves Tyler Johnson in the middle of all this?
Yeah, well, I think for 2021, it definitely limits the snaps. I mean, I think it even limits Scotty Miller's snaps, even though Miller's more of a specialist and just a deep ball guy than Johnson. Johnson's the more, you know, well-rounded receiver, but yeah, it's obviously going to limit his snaps, which kind of sucks. But I do know that the Bucs do like him a lot. And I just think that right now they believe he's not quite ready to take over the number three wide receiver. Better safe than sorry, right? I think they were going to draft a wide receiver fairly early if they didn't re-sign Antonio Brown, because they really learned a lot from that Chicago game. They just didn't have the weapons. Mike Evans was banged up. Chris Godwin didn't play. And, I mean, Tyler Johnson played a little bit. Scotty Miller played a little bit, but they just didn't have enough depth there. Now their depth is immediately bolstered. It does come at the expense of some playing time for a guy like Tyler Johnson. I have no doubts that I think in the future, possibly even next season, 2022, Johnson could see a really increased role. I just think right now in year two for him, he's not quite there yet. You got to remember, at the end of the day, he was a fifth round pick, right? It's not like this guy was drafted in the second or third round and you're expecting him to make an impact. He's still a fifth round pick. Bring him along slowly, and I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. Now, as far as the rest of the moves go today, because there's been a couple more, after the Antonio Brown signing, this came out, before the new deal with AB, the Buccaneers had about $950,000 in cap space, under the salary cap, per the NFLPA records. So they'll have to make cuts and restructures to get AB's contract and eventually draft picks back under the cap. And that's where this next move comes into play. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and tight end Cameron Brate agreed to a rework deal that clears out $4.69 million in cap space. Cam Brate gets a 2.425 signing bonus, and his salary is now $1 million in 2021, with a team option for the final 2 years of his deal. Now, we never really broke down the specifics of what Cam Brate's deal looked like, but this restructure, what kind of money does it save the Bucs? And I mean, you know, how much better do you have to feel if you're a big fan of Cam Brate here?
Well, it essentially almost guarantees a spot that he'll be back, because if they would have just cut him, right? If they really just didn't want him back. So he'll be back. So all Cameron Brate fans that didn't want to see him go and they think that he's better than OJ Howard and stuff like that, there's reasonable arguments for all, right? But, you know, he'll be back. It's essentially a 1-year deal almost at this point, because his salary, they didn't really guarantee it any more than they already did. Like, there was already no guaranteed salary for the rest of his contract, right? So that's why he was an easy cut, because they didn't really owe him anything. It's still the same thing. It's just this year that they are able to save a little bit more money, and it's essentially, I believe there's a few option years in there, and years one next year and the year after that, I think there's an option. So, you know, they still do have Rob Gronkowski is a free agent next year. OJ Howard is also a free agent next year. So there's still going to be tight end questions there, but for now, Cameron Brate's on the team, and he's, I mean, he's still on a contract for like the next year after that, but we'll see what the Bucs decide to do. But for now, the Bucs still have a loaded tight end room.
Yeah. James, your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. You know, hey, props to Cameron. I mean, he probably didn't have a choice. It's either, hey, you restructure this deal or we just cut you outright. But hey, still props to Cameron Brate for, you know, doing that, saving the Buccaneers some money. He's always been a team guy. This is the second time. Is this the second time in 2 years he's restructured his deal?
Last year it was a simple, just a pay cut. They didn't do anything with the options or anything like that. Last year it was literally, they took his salary down. This year it's a little bit more complicated, but yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, props to him for that, being, you know, a team guy and, you know, saving the team money. Like Evan said, guarantees a spot that he's going to be back. Going to be an interesting situation next year with the tight end room because, you know, like Evan said again, Gronk's got an expiring contract. OJ's got an expiring contract. Cam Brate's going to be the only guy left under contract. But, I mean, this is, I feel like this is a conversation we have every year. It's like, oh, man, what are the Bucs going to do with Cameron Brate? They're giving him a lot of money. Right, so, yeah. You know, at least for this year, this means that, you know, he's going to be back, and I'm sure he'll be productive in his own ways that he's been before. So overall, it was just a solid move for Cam Brate to be a team guy and go ahead and take that restructuring. And we'll just have to wait and see what the future holds for him.
Yeah, and I think this pair of moves, you know, comes at a really good time. But at the end of the day, it speaks volumes to the type of offseason that Jason Light, Greenberg and the rest of his staff have put together, man, the Cap Olympics that they have played with, but keeping this team together, like it's just, you know, a lot of people keep saying it, but it's almost unheard of because this time 2 months ago, everybody's like, well, where's the money? You know what I mean? You're not going to have enough money to pay everybody. You're going to have to kind of expect to lose a couple of pieces here. And listen, we're not going to say that we weren't in that group because I fully expected we were going to lose Leonard Fournette. I had a good feeling about AB coming back. We both did, but you know, I think both of us had kind of said that we're going to lose Leonard Fournette. Bucs are able to make that work and pay him peanuts compared to maybe what some other teams were going to pay him. Antonio Brown, same situation. It's weird to say out loud that he's playing on a $1.1 million salary, but that's the case of AB in 2021. And the fact that he sticks around in red and pewter is that much sweeter. Now, we do have the NFL draft coming up, and I figured, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that as well. Let's kind of kick things off. I want to talk about some trade targets or maybe some guys who are at risk of that, because I think Cam Brate was someone we talked about leading up to the draft. Is, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really know what the Bucs are going to do with Cam Brate until after the draft, because we talked a lot about him being the guy who gets traded on draft night. If the Bucs feel lucky enough to want to move up to a certain pick that they like or whatever the deal is, we kind of looked at Cam Brate as somebody in there. Evan, in your mind, you know, now that Cam Brate's restructured and it's pretty much locked in that he's here, are there any other trade candidates on this team with the draft in a little over 24 hours?
So you're talking about if like a player, right? Not necessarily draft picks. Okay. Yeah. There's one obvious one. I just don't think you're going to get as much value for him as you would like. So I think he's not going to go anywhere. It's Ronald Jones. Yeah. I think that's the one obvious one. Because it's already a crowded running back room. And if they truly like Keyshawn Vaughn, which I have my doubts that they actually do, maybe you do see Jones shipped out. I think you would see Jones shipped out if they were trading up for like a Najee Harris. I don't think they would just trade Jones without having a plan quickly to replace him. I wouldn't expect it. I'm not saying that Ronald Jones is going to get traded. I'm just looking at the roster and saying maybe he's a guy. Maybe OJ Howard's a guy. The thing with OJ Howard is he's coming off a major injury. Teams are going to want to know what his medicals are like before making any such move. So it's a little bit tougher for him. I think Ronald Jones could be a candidate. I don't think any of those guys are going to be traded. I don't think the Bucs have any interest in trading anybody from their roster. Draft pick, sure, but physical players, I don't think they have any interest in doing it right now.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't expect it, but if if you had to choose two guys, I would choose, say, Jones or Howard would be the two most likely guys.
Yeah, I know Howard was a hot topic because it kind of, you know, the conversations we were having before was it's either going to be Cam or OJ at this point. You know, Gronk's not really going anywhere. He's not in a position where the Bucs are just going to trade him.
Right.
So it was going to be one of those two guys. And as of right now, I think I feel a little bit better in saying that all three of them will be in the tight end room come week one. But, you know, time goes by, moves get made, and here we are. Here is another question regarding the draft, and we'll start to go into the live chat here. Ben Leeper with a really good question. Pretty much every contributing player from last year's roster has been signed, apart from Blaine Gabbert. Do you guys think this is a sign that there is a quarterback in this draft that they really like? And it's pretty interesting that this comes out now, because I don't know if you guys had seen it, but somebody reported that the Buccaneers did a little bit of extra homework on day two quarterbacks. Does that kind of give you an inkling that there's a guy that they really like that might just be there?
I'll let James take this one, but Tom Pelissero was the one who reported it. He said there was a handful of teams. I believe it was the Bucs, Saints, Ravens, and Bears, I think, were the teams. So go ahead, James.
It's interesting that the Ravens were in that list.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, in terms of, you know, them doing extra legwork, you know, day two quarterbacks, you think Kyle Trask out of Florida, Davis Mills out of Stanford.
Yep, yep.
Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M.
Yep.
Oh, thank God. It's asking a lot. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. You think of those three guys as the three primary guys, you know, and then maybe Jamie Newman, maybe if you really want to puff him up.
I'm a big Jamie Newman fan, and I don't, without him playing in 2020, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. All right. You know, so we'll see.
Those are the three guys, the guys you listed. Pelissero even listed those three guys. So those are the three.
Right. So, you know, I think that it's definitely a possibility. I would still think they bring back Blaine Gabbert just because I just think all the threads are there. I mean, Bruce Arians does love Blaine Gabbert. I love Blaine Gabbert. I just want Blaine Gabbert back personally, the gift of Gabbert, you know. But, you know, he was at that fighting.
Yeah, you can't cut him now. You got to resign him now. He's hanging out with Brady and Evans.
He's the future of the franchise, if you ask Jason Light, right?
That's right.
That's facts. But, you know, he's with Brady, Griff, Evans, you know, all those guys. Even Antonio Brown was there. And look at that. He ended up re-signing. So, you know, hey, you know.
I mean, to be fair, he was Jake there Paul. Sitting next to Jake Paul, not Tom Brady and Mike Evans. But I see your point. I'm sure.
I saw some people with issues with that. That's so stupid to
Dude,
me. But whatever.
Like, well, and also, it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who cares?
Anyway, the point is that, you know, honestly, depending on what they do with the practice squad again this year, I don't know if, like, having veterans – on the practice squad is a permanent change that they're making, or if it was just for last season. But if they continue that this year, I could see a quarterback situation where they go with Brady, Gabbert, some rookie, be it one of the three guys that I mentioned, maybe a guy later on, then maybe you just try and keep Ryan Griffin on the practice squad and work with that. That could be a situation I would see. To me, it makes sense that they would go, you know, and do their research on some of those mid-round quarterbacks. I like the mid-round quarterbacks. I actually did a poll recently on the channel, you know, which quarterback would you want? And I listed Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, Jamie Newman, and Davis Mills. And it was pretty dead even in terms of Trask versus Mond, which was pretty interesting results for me. So yeah, to me, it makes a lot of sense. I could see a scenario where it's Brady, Gabbert, and then a rookie, and then maybe Griffin on the practice squad.
You know, I'm personally a little surprised you didn't put Justin Fields on that poll too, considering Chris Sims think he's going to fall all the way to 32, right?
I will say,
I don't know if you saw that mock draft or not, James, but Sims, former Buccaneers quarterback, said that Justin Fields is just going to fall to 32 to Tampa Bay, right in our lap.
I will say there was some, I've been doing a lot of simulations on the Draft Network, right? More than once, I will say. I'm not going to say how many times, but more than once, Justin Fields was there at 32.
Oh,
that's where Chris Sims did his mock draft. Then he just did it on the Draft Network. No, but I actually had a buddy who of mine, he's actually going to be in the live stream I'm doing for the NFL draft. He's my Ohio State analyst, basically, because he graduated from there. And he texted me after he saw the mock draft. He goes, I would lose my mind if Justin Fields fell all the way to pick 32 and the Bucks picked him.
If he fell past 15, I feel like everybody would lose their mind. Like, if he fell past 15, something is just terribly wrong, right? It has to be.
I don't know if, I don't know if you guys have been seeing, but there's been kind of like a campaign on social media to like give Justin Fields the credit that he's due, which I think makes sense. He's a really talented quarterback prospect. So like, I've seen a lot of people honestly kind of like critiquing analysts and saying, hey, you guys aren't giving Justin Fields enough credit here. Like, this dude, it might be the, in fact, it, you know, maybe more probable than not, might be the third best quarterback prospect here. Why don't you give him his due? So I think
where a lot of that comes from is that I know for a while there was a lot of questioning Justin Fields' character, right? And when you've got Mac Jones being Mac Jones, it's kind of hard to, you know, put those two guys side by side and say, why do you have a problem with this guy's character but not the guy who has a DUI and is posting videos in the club every weekend? You know,
has,
I mean,
two DUIs.
Yeah, I mean, holy hell. So for Justin Fields to get that far, I don't think it happens. You know, I'd believe it more if Mac Jones ended up falling to the end of the first round than a Justin Fields. But of course, we just have to wait and see. We got another. Sorry, go ahead.
Don't do it. Just don't pick a quarterback on day two. Don't. Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask doesn't have the arm strength. Davis Mills is a bust, and Kellen Mond's mechanics are not good enough. Just pick Jamie Newman in the fifth round. Like, it's not difficult. Just please don't do it.
Yeah, I don't think this is the year you draft a quarterback unless you're drafting him after the fourth round, right? If you want Ryan Griffin to be your QB2, which probably won't be the case, but if you want Ryan Griffin to be your QB2, take a guy really late in the draft if you like him that much and go that route. But with Tom Brady rearing up to go at least two more years, I just don't think it's the year for it. Hey, it's Rhett, and listen, something you might not know about me is I love to fish. I got a bunch of family that also loves to fish, and that's why I'm so excited to tell you about the newest sponsor of the Cannon Fire Podcast, our guys over at Monster Bass. Monster Bass is the fun and affordable way to get the best new baits from the fishing industry's top brands delivered to your door every single month. It's a premium subscription fishing company that handpicks the best baits based on where you live and the type of fish in your area. No more guessing on which baits are going to work. Just leave it to the pros at Monster Bass. Basically, it's like having your own personal fishing guide, and it's changing the way bass fishermen shop for their bait. They're quickly becoming the number one fishing brand of anglers everywhere. They've got the best baits from the best brands, and you're covered by the industry's best customer service. So if you want to catch bigger bass this season, head over to monsterbass.com and use the code BUCKS10 to get $10 off of your first order. That is BUCS10 to get 10 bucks off your first box over at monsterbass.com. Sign up today and tell them Rhett from the Cannon Fire Podcast sent you over there. So another question here in the live chat comes from our guy BK Jackson, and we actually got pretty in depth with Matt Matera from Pewter Report. If you guys hadn't checked it out, we put out an episode yesterday breaking down all the defensive targets for Tampa Bay in the draft, and we actually talked about this one. His question: why is cornerback not a big target for us? It seems like every year injury leaves that position compromised, and I don't love the depth at CB. You know, at 32, I would be a little surprised if they wanted to go for a corner or even somebody in the secondary at the safety position. You got a couple of guys who are going to be hitting free agency next year. But in the first three rounds, you know, in the second or third round, going after an extra corner doesn't seem like that bad of an idea. And I think it might be a little bit higher up on the Bucks' priority list than people realize. Evan, what do you think about that spot?
Yeah, I would be surprised. I know Benjamin Albright, who, like, notoriously – now, he doesn't have inside sources on every single team. It's not like he's some draft guru, but, like, notoriously, he has one of the more accurate mock drafts every single season. He does one mock draft a year, and it's the day before the draft he does it. And this time, he had the Bucks picking Greg Newsome, from a cornerback from Northwestern at 32. If Newsome's there – I'd consider it just because I think he's an awesome player. I don't think he's going to be there. So that's the only way I would really consider it. I'd be surprised if they pick the quarterback and cornerback, I would be surprised if they pick one of those guys at 32. But like you mentioned, the second, the third, fourth, like I could see it. I wouldn't really be surprised. I'd be like I believe I said yesterday, I'd be more surprised at a safety early than a corner. I think a corner would make much more sense than a safety. Somebody did mention Caleb Farley. Don't think he, I know there's a lot of injury concerns with him and he's going to drop a little bit. I don't think he's going to fall that far. If he was at 32, I would pick him because I think like if this dude's healthy, he might be the best corner in the class and you could be getting a shutdown corner. I would probably pick him at 32, but I just don't think realistically he's going to last that long, even though he does have injury concerns. So I wouldn't draft a safety very early corner, but in the second round, second or third does make some sense because they re-signed Ross Cockrell, but they lost Ryan Smith. And then obviously they have the three, right? Davis, White, Dean and Murphy Bunting. So those three guys are all starters. And most of the time in the NFL, you're playing nickel like 80-85% of the time. So if one of them goes down, then Cockrell has to step in. What if, you know, somebody else goes down? It's just, it's such a valuable position and it's so fragile there that I think you could consider that. Carlton Davis is a free agent next year. I expect them to get a deal done with Davis. But then after that, I believe we talked about this yesterday. After that, Sean Murphy Bunting and Jamel Dean are both free agents. You yeah. probably can't keep both of them. You're going to have to choose one or the other probably. So, you know, if I had to guess, I would say one of them walks. And if you draft a corner in the second or third round this year, he could be ready to go right away. Right. So that's where I could see the value there. Melifonwu. Yeah. Afidu Melifonwu at 64 would be a solid value. So let's not forget the Bucs are picking at the end of each round. So to a quarterback, cornerback wouldn't be investing premium draft capital. Well, I mean, if you're picking at 32, that's a premium pick. But I've been saying it all along that basically the Bucs picks are drafting for this next round pretty much. A second round pick is essentially a third. A third is essentially a fourth. And so on, so on. So it makes sense. And we'll have to wait and see what happens. It is a solid cornerback class. So there is a lot of talented guys there.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to kind of say fourth, fifth round would be my area where I would consider taking a cornerback there. Specifically, what I would want to look to see is maybe get a backup kind of developmental slot corner. Because whenever I look at the three guys right now, like Carlton Davis, he's an outside corner. Jamel Dean, he's an outside corner. Sean Murphy Bunting,
he's inside.
He can do both, right? But, you know, I wonder if they want him to – I've seen him have success on both outside and inside. So I wonder what they would potentially do with him in terms of, you know, if Jamel Dean were to leave, well, then Sean Murphy Bunting's got to be, you know, your other outside corner at that point. So I would want to see – A developmental slot guy, just to kind of help get worked into the fold, you know, but help build him up and also help fill in some of that special teams play that Ryan Smith was doing, you know, for the past couple of years.
But if Jamel Dean leaves, you can keep Sean Murphy Bunting in the slot if you draft an outside corner this year.
That's true.
Like, I'm just, you know, you do have some options there. So yeah. Vortex brings up Tay Goin or Benjamin St. Juste. Would be pretty cool. They would be good value. Both those guys are, like James said, fourth, fifth round guys. They're not going to be drafted very high, like in the first three rounds. So especially a guy like St. Juste, I think Scott Reynolds had him in his Pew Report mock draft. So we'll see what happens there.
I do want to say real quick on Gregory Newsom the second too, is they did have a pre-draft meeting with him.
Yes, they did. So.
And I also think it's important to mention, both of you kind of touched on it, but if the Bucs are, you know, taking a corner this year and they take him after the third round, fourth, fifth, sixth round pick, I think it's safe to assume that that's probably going to be a little bit more of a Ryan Smith replacement.
Yep.
Anybody taking that late is going to have a bigger role in special teams than obviously they would playing defense, whether it's in the slot, playing outside, whatever type of corner he is. I think if you're, you know, picking after a certain point, you're kind of picking for special teams. And as of right now, it makes a lot of sense because it seems like the biggest hole in this team, other than some depth in places, is some gunners on special teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that's the biggest thing right now. They're missing some pieces on special teams, which like you said, I mean, really, normal years, your fourth round pick could be a major contributor because they've been picking so high. But like right. this year, it's going to be a special teams guy. And your fifth round pick might not even make the team. We'll see, which is why maybe they would trade up. Kevin, what are your thoughts on a developmental inside linebacker? I think the third round would be a good starting point for that position. Well, we spoke about that with Matt Materi yesterday as well. He brought up Derek Barnes, a player that he had in his Bucs battle plan a few months back. Is a similar style to a Devin White, is a really good blitzer, also good in coverage, and would be a solid pick in that third or fourth round. He's from Purdue, I believe. So he could be a guy. Other than that, I mean, Chaz Surratt from North Carolina, maybe if he's there in the third, he's more of like a blitzing linebacker. Other than that, I'm not sure if they would draft one too early. Like, I mean, 32, a guy like Zaven Collins, kind of guy you can move kind of all around the board and stuff like that, could interest them if he's there. I don't really think he's going to be there. Okay, we need a return man. That's something that I think they've been looking for a while, and just haven't found it. Maybe I'll give them that in my mock draft. We'll see.
You mean no more Kenyon Barner?
No, I mean, the funny thing is Kenyon Barner is before he came to Tampa, it might just be a Tampa thing. Because before he came to Tampa, he had a few kick returns, and is now he just nothing. Yeah.
Like any returner with a little bit of cred who comes here just kind of gets swept under the rug and everybody forgets about it, right?
Yeah. Darden, please, for returns and maybe a bit of a gadget play. Jalen Darden is a player I've really liked. Vortex, yeah, he's very, very, very good player and could be a special teams stud.
Our buddy Ethan was asking, there's a special teams ace from Boise State. I don't have the name. Technically, he's a defensive back, but I don't see him there in the pros. I think he'd be an awesome Ryan Smith replacement. Do you know who he's talking about out of Boise State?
Not sure. No. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. Let's see. Ben Leeper. I feel like it's a basic team building rule that don't really pay more than two cornerbacks or three linemen. Good money. Something to think about as we draft for the future. It is. It really is, especially with Alex Kappa and Ryan Jensen both being free agents next year, to sort of move the subject over to the offensive side of the football. Interior offensive line, they're going to be looking for it. I think they're going to be looking for it early. I think they were going to draft one in the first three rounds. I would expect that. So we'll see what happens. James, what are your thoughts on an interior offensive lineman, whether it's guard, center, whatever?
Yeah, I think that getting a backup center should be a priority for them. You know, Ryan Jensen, he's on the last year of his deal. And look, hey, we all love Jensen here on the channel, you know, here over at the Cannon Fire podcast, right? But
my fellow, you know, ginger.
Exactly. But you can't pay everybody at the end of the day. You do have to make some tough decisions there. I could see them investing pretty early in a backup offensive lineman. And a lot of the things that I've been talking about in terms of draft prospects that they could be interested in, you know, I've had them taking centers, you know, backup centers in like second round, third round, fourth round. Another thing too, is this is an interior O-line, but also maybe getting like a backup tackle, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Donovan Smith had dealt with injuries last year. They put in Josh Wells, who was up and down. So I think that maybe in the later rounds five through seven, they could look to invest in a offensive tackle there. Guy I love, Josh Ball. Dude's a mountain of a man, 6'8", over 300 pounds. I mean, absolute unit.
Why is he entering the NFL draft? Should be playing the NBA.
Right? So, I mean, like,
at just 300? Oh, man.
It's in the paint, man. Just throw
my
it to him.
My guy's getting fouled 10 times a game.
Dude, legit. So, I think investing in interior offensive linemen should be a early round priority for the Bucs, and then I think investing in a backup offensive tackle should be a later round priority. Josh Ball, 6'8", 350 pounds offensive tackle out of Marshall.
That's nice. A big boy. I mean, 350 at offensive tackle, man. Holy hell.
I mean, that's not crazy, I don't think.
It doesn't seem like it, but I don't know, man. You're pushing 400 at 6'8". That's a big SOB.
If David Cardona, if a guy like Demetric Felton is there in round 4 or 5, do you think he could be good to fill the return man hole on special teams? Maybe, and maybe we see Demetric Felton in my mock draft. Just maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
And we're actually going to get to that mock draft here shortly.
But the Bucks have actually met with Felton twice, so that's something to note as well. There Not we once, they met with him twice. So
one more thing here, our buddy Kevin coming in with the save. Avery Williams is that Boise State corner that we were talking about a little bit earlier. 5'8", 187, yeah. Fast and solid tackler, so maybe a later round guy.
Sounded good to me until you said 5'8". They're not interested in drafting any cornerback that's under like 5'11".
Yeah,
so
looks like they're 5'8".
5'8", I'm almost as tall as that guy. So, I don't think they're interested in drafting anybody like that. Vortex said, Jensen's a cool dude, but he's very expensive. He didn't play great last year. Get the hell out of here, dude.
He was one of the best centers in football last season and the year before.
Yeah, I think he was a top five or three center this past season. So, I mean, without him, they might not win the Super Bowl.
One thing I want to say just real quick about linebacker prospects for like middle rounds, like 3 and 4. Cameron McGrone from Michigan, 6'1", 232. And then Charles Snowden from Virginia, 6'6", 232.
Yeah, Snowden's more of a blitzing type guy. I look at him as more of an outside linebacker that can play inside a little bit. He's versatile, so.
Yeah.
Well, we talked a little bit yesterday with Matera about how Todd Bowles, even if you're an inside linebacker, he loves sending
those
guys
up the gut. If you're Ndamukong Suh, he loves dropping in the covers.
Yeah, I mean, you could be playing any position. You know, next year we'll see Bradley Pinion just shoot through the A-gap, right? He'll send him out there, a little smoke screen, huh?
If he the people's champ, gets a run stuff, gets a sack, tears, oh my gosh, I'd retire from YouTube. I'd be so done.
So, Evan, here we are the day before the draft. I believe you have a mock draft for us that you've been waiting to unveil, right?
I do. Yeah, so this is the toughest year ever to do this because there's just so many different variables. And like everybody keeps asking me, what do you think of 32? I'm like, I could give you 10 names and none of them would surprise me. Like,
yeah, they're really, you know, other than maybe wide receiver and running back, which aren't even 100% off the board considering the future of the position, there isn't a single position that's off the board for the Bucs at 32, except for maybe a kicker.
Kicker, I mean, punter, they got the people's chance. They don't need a punter, so.
I know.
they definitely don't need a punter. So, yeah, I do have a mock draft real quick. I just want to check up on the chat just for a few minutes before I really dive into this. Because once I dive into the mock, I'm not really going to be checking the chat. So a lot of Quinn Menners from Wisconsin, Whitewater love. Apparently, the Bucks don't love him as much as some fans do. Felton's going to fall pretty far. He had very bad testing numbers. He could, which, you know, could potentially be good news for the Bucks. So, Lander Dickinson would play great all five position. We can afford the risk. It is a big risk. Apparently some teams apparently have taken Dickerson completely off their board. He is completely off of some teams' boards. I do not know if that team is the Bucks, but his medicals, especially this year where it's tough to get medicals for somebody, his medicals this year are very shaky. He's a great player. I think if he was healthy, we talked about it with Trevor, because Trevor had him as his pick for the Bucks, and if he was healthy, he would have been a top 15 pick. So I don't think Dickerson would be he wouldn't be a bad pick, but I just don't know if you're going to take that much of a risk in round one. Okay. So, before I start, does anybody else have any last-minute things to say?
It's that boy, Ethan.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Ethan Edison, the chat. Let me see. Avery Williams is not a defensive player. He's an elite all-around special teams. Purely a Ryan Smith replacement. I don't want him touching the field on defense.
That's great, but I'm just telling you that they're not looking for a cornerback that's 5'8". So,
yeah, I feel Kevin, 5'2", our buddy holding it down. Bring back Joe Dirt, huh? Who the
hell?
He
hasn't played football in like 2 years.
I know. I think he's slinging real estate right now. I think he's selling houses somewhere in Central Florida.
Yes, he is. At least last I saw. You know, hey, life after football, man, you know.
Good for him.
Yeah. Ben Leeper, before we get into Evan's mock draft, one more interesting thing that we can take from somebody else's mock draft. I saw Jake Arians doing a mock where he had us going Mac Jones at 32. Maybe he knows something we don't. We kind of, you know, brought this up jokingly a little bit earlier, but I feel like if any quarterback's going to fall to 32 out of those top four or five that people talk about, it would be Mac Jones. But I don't know, man. I know that it's, you know, a great place to be with Tom Brady being your starting quarterback. And if you're Mac Jones, you know, you sit around and have somebody to learn from. But I don't know if I want a guy like Mac Jones on my roster. He gives me Johnny Manziel vibes.
I would take him.
I just don't think he's going to be available.
Yeah, that's why
I don't think he will either.
I was going to literally, before the question was even, when I heard Mac Jones at 32, like I saw Jake Arians' thing. It's not going to happen. So it doesn't really matter. He doesn't know anything that we don't right now about that, because he doesn't know. He might have some intel on the Bucks, but he doesn't have intel on every NFL team. So
yeah, he doesn't know who's gonna fall to 32. Yeah,
and that mock draft was more, I looked at it as more what he would do, kind of. So I just, Mac Jones is not gonna be there. If he's there at 32, I think 32 is a good value, but it just, he's not gonna be there.
Yeah, I mean, like, all the, what are there five quarterbacks, right? Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, Jones, Trey Lance.
Yep.
Yeah, those five guys, I mean, they're going to go in the top
15.
Honestly, maybe 15. The top, like, honestly, if you want to be really generous, yeah, like top 12, 10, yeah. 8, you know, who knows, yeah. You know, but like, they're going to be.
My personal mock draft has them all gone within the top 10.
Okay.
My personal mock draft has top 10, five quarterbacks. So
okay, so Evan, just real quick for you, is this a strictly
this is Bucks. So I can reveal my top 10 real quick, but yeah. This is a strictly a Bucks. I did it on the Draft Network. I controlled the Bucks, and this is a 7-round Bucks mock draft. But real quick, just to get into it, number one, I have the Jaguars taking Trevor Lawrence. Two, Zach Wilson to the Jets. Three, 49ers. This, I kept going back and forth. Trey Lance or Mac Jones. I think I've settled on Trey Lance. I can't fully buy into the Mac Jones stuff. Four, Falcons, Kyle Pitts. Five, Bengals, Jamar Chase. I would pick Penei Sewell, but I think they're going to pick Jamar Chase.
To help out that O-line, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, poor Joe Burrow is going to have surgery on the other knee this year.
My God. At least he's going to have his buddy to throw to.
Yeah.
Six, Dolphins, Jalen Waddle. Seven, I have the Patriots moving up with the Lions to grab Justin Fields.
Wow, like that.
Eight, Carolina, Penei Sewell. Nine, is that Denver, Mac Jones. And 10, Dallas, Patrick Surtain. So that's my top 10. Now, are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
So, with a 32nd overall pick. See, now this pick is starting to become a little boring now because everybody and their mother seems to be doing it now. Joe Tryon, edge from Washington. It's a pretty clear. If he's there, I think he's going to be the pick. I don't know if he's going to be there. Baltimore is a team that I've heard likes him. I've heard some things about maybe Buffalo liking him. Two teams that are right in front of the Bucks. Baltimore picks twice in front of the Bucks, so that really, you know, really could hurt their chances to grab him. But if he's there, and let's say nobody else unexpected is there, I think he'd be the pick. So, a little bit about him. He's not going to come in and get you 10 sacks as a rookie. It's not that type of player. He needs a year or two.
Especially when he's splitting snaps with JPP and Shaq Barrett.
So, you know, this is all about a future replacement for Jason Pierre-Paul. And I think Tryon sort of fits like a glove. It's a great fit. He told me himself when I talked to him that he believed it was a great fit. Like I said, you guys can go check out that interview on Bucks Daily. I talked to Joe Tryon. He's a great dude. It sounded like he was genuinely excited about the draft, and it seemed like he really had an interest in Tampa. He literally went out of his way to basically tell me, like, yo, like, yeah, I want to get down there. I think he's a high energy guy, a high motor guy, which every time you hear motor, that
breaking news here. I don't know if this messes with your Denver plans, but the Panthers traded quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to the Broncos, a move that I called 2 months ago.
Maybe. What's wrong with you, James?
Are you a big Teddy Bridgewater guy?
Yeah, I like Teddy Bridgewater. I'm happy he's Teddy B versus Drew Lock. Also, I was honestly gonna bet money on Mac Jones going to the Broncos, but I guess I can't do that now.
And also, really quickly before we move on, Kevin had said, Evan, we have the same exact top 10, but I swapped Jones and Lance. So look at that. You and Kevin have another thing in common.
It really is. It's close, I think, between Jones and Lance. I really do think so.
People dropping Rhett bombs in the chat, by the way.
Shout out to Fresh the Killer. He had it before anybody. He had it before my Twitter was going off.
Nice.
So, yeah, here we go. Joe Tryon, 32. That's a pick. Picks in. I like Tryon. I think he's a really good fit because, you know, they really Washington runs a very similar defensive scheme that to the Bucs and Todd Bowles. So that's why it's a fit. They drafted Vita Vea. They actually drafted Vita Vea when Mike Smith was the defensive coordinator, which obviously that wasn't a fit, but they still drafted him. So they drafted Vita Vea. They signed that Benning Patoe guy. They have an interest in Joe Tryon. Could have an interest in Levi Onwuzurike, who I believe James had in one of his mock drafts the other day. So Joe Tryon is the Bucs' pick at 32. Now, moving on to the second round, I have the Bucs selecting. It's funny because we did talk about this, and I've been on a certain train. Now, this mock, by the way, is a combination of what I would do slash what I think they'll do. It's not completely what I would do, not completely what I think they'll do. 64, Tyson Campbell, cornerback from Georgia. Dude, 6'2", that's the biggest thing. He's a long, lengthy corner. Him and Eric Stokes are the two Georgia corners that have been getting the most love. Tyson Campbell, I think, is the guy that could be drafted a little bit later. He's a nice press man corner, which I think they'll like. He can play on the outside. So let's say the plan is to re-sign Carlton Davis. And maybe the next year you let Jamel Dean hit free agency and have, you know, your signed Sean Murphy Bunting, and you have your corners as Carlton Davis and Tyson Campbell on the outside with Sean Murphy Bunting inside. I think that could work. So Tyson Campbell to the Bucs is 64. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? I know I want to actually hear James's thoughts because Rhett was on, seemed to be on board maybe with a second or third round corner, but James was kind of on the more fourth and fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the fit's there, you know, in terms of fitting into Todd Bowles' defense. Like you said, what is he, 6'1", you said?
6'2".
Hell of a lot 6'2". Bigger than 5'8".
Yeah, you know, big guy, press man corner, like you said. He would fit well into Todd Bowles' system. So I would assume that would mean, I guess, the future for the cornerback position would be Carlton Davis at the 1, him at the 2, and then Sean Murphy Bunting at the nickel, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you just, and for the next 2 years or whatever, you just have immense, you have great cornerback depth with Cockrell and Campbell there. So, it would be a solid option.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it, you know, we've talked about this a ton, like in terms of the needs that the Bucs have. I mean, their depth needs are becoming fewer and fewer now, you know,
it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, so far you get that third edge rusher, you get that guy who's going to be the fourth cornerback to start, and then he's going to grow into something. It would be a good situation for him because, you know, you guys have talked about this with people too, you know, about how with the current way things are going in the NFL with the illness and everything, you know, these young guys are getting no chances to show what they can do.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, and that stunts their growth immensely. So I think having him sit that extra year behind three guys, you know, and not having to get thrown in the fire too quickly would be pretty beneficial to get him more prepped. You know, he's coming from a good school, you know, big time school there. You know, I'm not like 100% opposed to the idea of taking a cornerback in round 2. I could see it. I would just say maybe like round 4 or 5. But yeah, I would like that pick a lot, actually, if it got done.
Yeah, I agree with James. When you're drafting for the future, there isn't really a position you can go wrong. And at corner, we talked about the liability of not exactly having that depth, you know, that you would like at a position like that. And especially with some guys hitting free agency next season. It is a good move. Bring a little more speed to that defense and set him up in the backfield. I like it.
Yep. So this next pick, the third round pick, pick 95, is another sort of future pick, a guy that's not going to play a ton, but is going to provide depth this year. And then it's maybe as soon as next year can be a starter. And that's Trey Smith out of Tennessee, offensive guard. Smith is a, you know, as a nasty player. I believe he had some injury history. He had some health issues with blood clots, I believe, in 2019.
That's rough.
But it appears that all that is behind him, even though I believe sometimes he did miss practice. So that could be a reason that he's there at 95. Because if he wasn't, didn't have that health issues, he could be a guy that could be gone in the mid-second round or so. But I think with the health issues, he could he could definitely maybe fall a little bit and right into the Bucks' laps. I think he's a good fit. He's like I said, he's just in the run game, especially. He's a mauler. He really is. I think he's played everywhere but center, I believe. I think I'm not confident in that, but he projects as a left guard or right guard and would probably fill in for Alex Kappa, who could depart for free agency. So yet again, another spot where I'm drafting for the future and I'm drafting a talented player. He was a top recruit, I think, out of high school. He's a good player. He really is. So that's another pick. Yet again, three picks who probably won't play a ton this year, but next year, all three of them could be starters. So we'll have to wait and see. The fourth round, pick 137. Money Hill's going to like this one. Charles Snowden, linebacker. He's like celebrating like they actually made the pick. He's fist pumping.
Let's go. We're making the call. We're handshaking everybody here in the draft room. We're having a great time.
All right. We're on the phone with him right now.
Right.
So to me, I like him because he's versatile. He can rush the passer, which they need their linebackers to blitz, and he can also drop into pass coverage. He's not a great pass coverage guy, but you're talking about your only depth really at middle linebacker being Kevin Minter, Kevin Minter's fine. As we talked about yesterday, like, he's a good backup, but you just want maybe somebody younger, somebody to take Minter's spot next year, and I think Snowden could be that guy. And even I think he could even rush a little bit from the outside, take on some of those tackles as well. I don't think he just has to be a guy blitz up the middle. So I do like Snowden there.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin, with the trade update in the chat. Denver traded a 2021 sixth round pick to Carolina for Teddy, with Carolina picking up 7 out of his $10 million guaranteed salary for 2021. I got to tell you, pretty bad trade. If you're Carolina, like, I know not a lot of people wanted Teddy, but a six rounder, dude.
This is what Trevor Sikkema said, our good buddy and friend. He said a completely pointless trade for the Broncos, but they probably didn't want people mad at them for not going after a quarterback. So here's the scapegoat.
Sure. Probably.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll be interesting.
They don't like franchise quarterbacks. So
yeah. They're... So I wonder if they'll trade back now with New England.
Maybe. I think New England has to get higher than that. I just think there's going to be somebody else. Washington, maybe. Yeah. Do they want to make a bold move? Chicago, want to make a bold move?
I mean, you talk about bold, but do you think Atlanta could be clumped into that possibility?
Of trading back?
Yeah.
Could. They could. I don't know. I think New England is the closest team there, maybe. I think what's interesting is, what does Carolina – if Justin Fields is sitting there at 8, does Carolina pick him? Having Sam Darnold there would not stop me from picking Justin Fields.
What did they trade for Sam Darnold? Like a third?
Yeah, I think something like that.
That's
like
tough.
Yeah, but having Sam Darnold there is not going to stop me from drafting Justin Fields.
No, I mean, at that point, I'll tell you this. Like, I mean, if they really do believe in Sam Darnold, you know, I could see them – I could see another team just giving them a crap ton of picks to trade up to get.
Yeah, I could too. And that's what they'll have to weigh. They'll have to weigh whether they want Justin Fields or they want those picks from a New England or a Washington or something like that. So
they traded a 2022 second round for Darnold, by the way.
Okay, 2022 second round.
Real quick, by the way, on Snowden. I mean, I love the pick personally.
You do.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, I think
the dude's
great linebacker
so far. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I really do think the dude's a really good linebacker. He gives you a lot for Todd Bowles' defense, you know, not just, I mean, I think he could get some healthy playing time in the immediate sense, but then in the future, you know, we could just start to see him grow and develop more. Solid guy overall.
And we talked with Matera about it too. You know, if you're Todd Bowles, you love your versatility on this defense. Look at Antoine Winfield Jr., a versatile safety, guy who can get after the quarterback, make a play in the backfield, right? I guess you could call Ndamukong Suh versatile because they had him standing up and rushing as a linebacker some point last season. So versatility goes a long way, and I think Snowden is a great step towards that if you're looking at a backup linebacker. Because, you know, Kevin Minter, as good as he is, he is getting a little bit older, right? And you don't necessarily know if he's going to be around with Tampa Bay that much longer into the future. He's back for this year, but after that, you don't really know.
And those types of backups are very interchangeable. Like, they're, right, you know, they're, I'm not saying they're completely easy to find, but like, you can find another Kevin Minter. Like, he's a solid player, but you can find somebody else in the fourth or fifth round to fill that role. Okay, so we're going to move on now. This is the fifth round. So pick 176. And I'm going to select Demetric Felton, listed as a wide receiver from UCLA. He's listed as a wide receiver. To me, he doesn't have any position. I think this guy can play receiver. He can play running back. He can do a lot of different things. And I think the Bucs really loved Antonio Gibson last year from Memphis. It was between Antoine Winfield at 45 and Antonio Gibson at 45. That's who they were deciding between. And the Bucs were really heartbroken when Washington picked Antonio Gibson a few picks before I think it was six or seven picks before the Bucs were on the clock in the third round. And they ended up picking Keyshawn Vaughn. I mean, they would have loved to have Antonio Gibson. Here they get a slightly lesser version of Gibson, a more gadgety player than Gibson. I also think Felton, as was brought up earlier, that he can also be a return man if need be. So I think Bruce Arians lost out on his gadget guy last year. I don't know if he's going to lose out on him again. Bucks, like I said, did meet with him twice. I think he makes a lot of sense here in the fifth round.
Yeah, and you kind of think to, you know, a John Franklin. I remember how the Bucks were starting to use him at the end of 2019.
He's still on the roster, too.
Is he really?
Yeah. Wow. He got hurt. So
yeah,
he got hurt.
Like, I knew he got hurt. I just didn't know if he had officially been cut.
Technically, you know, he was on the boat with Antonio Brown.
Yes, he was. Now, wow. But you think of, you know, a John Franklin, how the Bucs were going to use him. He was, for a while, he was on the roster as a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And they were using him in all sorts of ways. They really started to get the hang of it in those final couple of games. It was nice to see him, you know, go out there and find a way to produce. But do you think Felton could maybe be that guy if they end up going that route?
It could be. I think he's a guy that you can just do so many different things with.
Right.
I mean, whether you want to have him out of your backfield, I think he would be a pure receiving option, just a sort of, you know, line him up anywhere. I mean, yeah, you can just do so many different things with him that it would be interesting to see, and it'd be a fun little player. His measurables weren't great. His numbers weren't great, but his tape, I think, sort of speaks for itself. So I'm going to rely on that. Vortex says, wish we could have got Gibson. He's a great player and could have ended up starting. Yes, but the Bucs are pleased with their pick at 45. So, you know, yeah, it does suck that he wasn't around for 76 when they were picking in the third round, but they're pleased with who they got in the second round.
And listen, if you end up taking Gibson, you never get the iconic deuces. You just don't.
Probably not. Yeah,
you don't. No. I mean, maybe somebody else does it, you know, less maybe on the radar, but Antoine Winfield is a hell of a player, and I'm really glad he's a Buck. I like Winfield over Gibson. Call me biased now that he's a Super Bowl champ, but the guy's been a godsend.
And to me, safety greater value than running back anyway. So, Ethan said we can't really complain about Orson and Winfield. No, nobody. I don't think anybody's complaining about them.
Yeah, no way.
I just think, yeah, Vortex did clarify. I think, yeah, more about the Vaughn pick. Yeah, for sure. Nobody's complaining about Antoine Winfield and Tristan Wirfs. All right, so, or the Calvin Ridley tips pass to win the game, changed the whole season. Yeah, that was, it wasn't necessarily to win the game, but it was a big moment, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty big. So, yeah, it came up big. So, glad I got to tune into the live stream, killing the game, boy. Thank you, Captain.
Yeah,
appreciate
that's
it.
That's our buddy, Captain Crustacean. You can go check him out on Twitch. I think it's also Captain Crustacean, but did some video game streams with him. I like checking into his stuff. He's a good guy.
Sounds like a character from SpongeBob. Okay, so anyways, here we go. Oh, we have sixth round, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Last one was pick 176.
Yeah, so this is pick 217. Yep, that's about right. I'm going to pick that developmental offensive tackle that we talked about in Alaric Jackson, another offensive tackle from Iowa. So getting some familiarity there with Tristan Wirfs, going back-to-back offensive tackles from Iowa.
Boys are corn-fed out there, man.
He is. I mean, they just seem to have solid guys. Now, Alaric Jackson's obviously not on Tristan Wirfs' level, but I think if you're looking at a development offensive tackle that you can maybe place on a practice squad for a year or two, he could come in and be a solid backup for you by year two or year three. I think Alaric Jackson could make a lot of sense. And I just, there's a few schools like Wisconsin, Iowa, Notre Dame that you always want to get your offensive lineman from. And it would be a solid pick, I think, if he were to be available at 217. He was actually a guy that I believe was supposed to go a little bit earlier before the season. I didn't really have a great season. The Big Ten had a reduced schedule anyway. I believe he played. So it was tough, and I think that's dropped his stock a little bit. So I think it would be smart for the Bucs to pick up that type of player with 217.
Yeah. Like Willie said, you know, you can't really go wrong with any kind of lineman from Iowa. Those guys out there in the the corn belt, the wheat belt, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah,
out there in that part of town, they're just built differently, and you get a big solid football player at the end of the day. But no, I like it. Bolstering up the trenches any way you can, whether it's defensive line or offensive line, you cannot go wrong there. So just another one of those picks coming in.
Yeah, and I would have liked to get an interior defensive lineman. I really would have, but part of me was like the one part of me, like what I would do is like I'm looking at him like, eh. Like I had a few different mocks where I was like, okay, there's an interior defensive lineman there. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I actually had to make an adjustment this morning because an original mock that I had has relatively the same positions, just different players, but it had two wide receivers in it, one being Felton and one being a different guy. So I was like, I don't really consider Felton a wide receiver, so I'll pick another receiver. That was before the Brown news. So after that, I sort of had to switch it up. But I am going to keep my last pick the same from that original mock, 251. I believe it's Malcolm Kuntz or Malcolm Kunze. He's an edge defender from Buffalo, I believe. So he's just a typical, I think, 3-4 outside linebacker. He can rush the passer. He's more of a developmental guy. Again, might have to sit on the practice squad for a year.
Yeah, once you get past round four, far as what the Bucs are picking, these are guys that you don't even know if they're going to make the team. And, I mean, Light even said that.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's a solid player, and I'd be surprised if he was there at 251. But hey, I ran the simulation. He was there. I picked him. Okay. It would have been different. Like, there was times Justin Fields was legit there, right? Like, legit there. I could have taken him and said, this is my mock draft. No, like, I'm not going to do that. So he's 6'3", 249. He's listed at, I think that's a solid weight. Maybe you could bulk up a little bit in the weight room. But I mean, the height wise, it's fine. Like I said, I just think he could be a developmental pass rusher. So, really loading up on the future there, getting some young guns there. I don't love Anthony Nelson. I don't really think the team does either. So, you know, like maybe next year, like if Kunze is ready or Kuntz, if anybody knows how to pronounce the name, please let me know. But I think
Kuntz
maybe
is a safe guess. I got a buddy whose last name is Kuntz.
Maybe, but yeah, but Kunze, because it's Koonce. So that E on the end.
No, I think it's Kunze. I think it's Kunze.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it could be.
My buddy.
I like Kunze a little bit more. It sounds nice.
Kunze, put a little swagger on it. But my buddy is Kunz, and it's just Kunze. So, I mean, I feel like anything similar, Kunze.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Little Frenchman. we got ourselves a Frenchman. So, I think it's a solid pick. And what I really targeted was just to get some young guns, fresh blood as a pass rushing guys. I didn't really pick a lot of offense. I picked three offensive players, I believe. I got a cornerback for the future, an edge rusher for the future, inside linebacker for the future, the gadget player, the developmental offensive tackle, and then the last developmental type pass rusher. So if you guys had to give a quick grade, what would each one of you do, and what was your favorite pick?
Don't they have pick 259 as well, or no?
I don't think so.
I thought they did this year.
I thought they had an extra seventh rounder.
Well,
the draft network doesn't have it then. So
I think Kevin had also asked a little bit earlier, do the Bucks have any compensatory picks this year? And since you didn't factor it in, I guess they don't.
I thought they got a sixth.
Vortex says 251, I think.
Yeah, 251 is their last pick.
Yeah, and that's what he had said.
Okay. Yeah, because I have them having pick 32, 64, 95, 137, 176, 217, 251, and 259. And I got that.
217 is the comp pick because that's for losing Breshad Perriman, I believe.
Yeah. Right. I got pick 259 off the Bucks website.
I don't know. But Draft Network does not have.
Huh.
Draft Network. The Draft Network doesn't even go up to 259. It goes to 256.
Huh.
Very interesting. So for anybody who may have missed it, didn't catch all of it, if you want to lay it out one more time from top to bottom, sure. Pick by pick, and then we'll kind of break it down after that.
Okay, so number 32, Joe Tryon, edge from Washington. Number 64, Tyson Campbell, cornerback from Georgia. Number 95, Trey Smith, interior offensive lineman from Tennessee. 137, Charles Snowden, a linebacker from Virginia. Right, James?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Okay. 176, Demetric Felton, wide receiver / running back from UCLA. 217, Alaric Jackson, offensive tackle from Iowa. And then 251, right? That's what we're rolling with. Malcolm Kuntz, an edge defender from Buffalo.
I like it. Ethan Ennis in the chat says Jason Light's going to pick a kicker as Mr. Irrelevant just to troll people. I like it, man. I've been saying it on the show forever. Jason Light is a troll. Like, on Twitter, he's a troll. He knows it. He knows how to get a rise out of people, and obviously he's pretty aware of his track record and how people feel about it, but that's a pretty damn good move. I think you can write that one in. My favorite pick, Evan, out of your A-minus draft, favorite pick is probably the Campbell pick in the second round.
Okay.
I wasn't on the train of, you know, getting a secondary player early, but once you kind of take a step back and look at the position the Bucks are going to be in, as far as Jordan Whitehead and Carlton Davis go next season, we talked about this with Matt Matera yesterday, but I think it's more likely they hang on to Carlton Davis. Jordan Whitehead a little bit more replaceable, but I like the Campbell pick. I think it's a good pick to have. And when you're going to have more guys the year after that in that secondary facing free agency, it's always good to have somebody who's a couple of years in and possibly ready to go if they need to call him up and fill him into a spot that, you know, you didn't expect him to be in so soon. But I think that's probably my favorite pick of what you had thrown at us. I like Tryon in the first round. I think 32, an edge rusher, no matter what, no matter who it is, would be the right pick. Wow. You know, in the trenches.
Greg Rousseau wouldn't be ideal for me. I know me and James have differing opinions on this, but that guy wouldn't be ideal. So
yeah. But I think an edge rusher, I mean, you can go trenches in the first, like we talked about, a Landon Dickerson would probably be my like number two if they, you know, if he's there at 32. But I really like the pick of an edge rusher at 32. And then I think Campbell in the second is a great pick. Overall, I got you an A-.
Yeah, man, I'll give you a solid A. I like a lot of your picks, man. Tryon's a good pick. Snowden, that's a sleeper for me, man. I love Snowden. I think he's going to be a really productive linebacker, like on a lot of different levels. So Demetric Felton, I think, is a very good pick. Yeah, overall, I like what you did, man. If I give a favorite pick, I mean, I really do like the Joe Tryon pick. I think that's a good one. That'd probably be my favorite pick just because
the more I think about Tryon, the more I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that his measurable 6'4", 251, you know, that dude's, we've talked about this before, all three of us, you know, if whatever third edge rusher they decide to get, you know, maybe it's second round guy, maybe it's first round guy. If they come in and they have like that kind of Carl Nassib type season where they're coming in rookie season, they get six and a half, seven sacks playing on, you know, let's say 60%, 70% of defensive snaps.
High motor.
Great rookie season. You know, that'd be a great rookie season. And then they'd be ready to step in for JPP at that point. See, so yeah, I would say probably Joe Tryon is my favorite pick there. But overall, man, yeah, I'll give you an A on that. That very, right. Very, very solid draft overall.
All right. Thank you, Kevin, for the B plus. Vortex, maybe trade back and pick Osai in the 50s or 40s. I just don't, based on like Light's comments too, I just don't see them moving back at this point. We talked about it yesterday. I think it's more likely they move up than move back. I'm not saying they are gonna move up, but I think it's more likely, especially when Light talks about, you know, draft picks on this team might not even make this team. I have a tough time believing, unless they can get 2022 picks, which apparently a lot of teams are really valuing it. Like, they don't want to get rid of their 2022 picks. Unless they can get those, I don't see a reason to move down. So, let's see. Definitely an A. You got great value at every pick. I just don't know if the top three guys you picked are on there for us. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not gonna, it's not a predictive thing. It's just they were there on the board when I picked them. All right, it's they were on the board when, so I picked them. It is what it is. I do have my doubts that Campbell will be available. I think Trey Smith might be there. I have my doubts about Campbell. I do think Trey Smith might be there. Tryon, I don't know. I keep going back and forth on whether he's going to be there or not, but we'll have to wait and see. So it'll definitely be interesting.
Ben Lieber with one final question as we start to wrap things up here. He says, I just tried a mock draft and Landon Dickerson, Caleb Farley, Stokes, Bateman, Moehrig, Etienne, Owe, and Levi from Washington, whose last name still escapes me. They were all there at 32. Who are you taking in this situation?
Levy Onwuzurike is the best I could muster.
I like that. Levy? Levy, huh?
Levy.
Levy? It's not it's Levi?
It's Levi. It's Levi.
Yeah.
It's Levi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I suck at pronouncing names. I'm gonna be honest. Yeah.
Dude, it is an all-time draft for just names that I don't pronounce and can't remember. You know what I mean? Like, oh, there's that guy from this school, but he's got such an exotic name that I just it escapes me.
Mm-hmm.
But just real quick, I mean, if all those guys were there at 32, I'd probably go, that's a tough one. I don't know. I might go away. I mean, I think that, but Etienne's there.
Yeah.
Ah!
I would. All right. So, all right, James, lock it in. Who are you picking? Yeah. I'm going to
go
pick
with
one.
I'm going to go with, Jason away.
Okay. Rhett, go ahead.
I'll go, Dickerson.
Okay. I'm going to go Caleb Farley. So
look at that. Look at that.
Let's see. If he fell, do you think we would pick Najee Harris at 32? I do. If Najee Harris is available at 32, I think they would pick him. I don't think there's any way he's there. So
look, I'm a big Ronald Jones guy. I'd be freaking out if we got Najee Harris, man.
He's so good.
By the way, shout out to Kevin. He corrects me on my videos.
Because
I had Levi in one of my recent mock drafts, and he was like, James, it's pronounced this. I said, it's my yearly tradition of messing up names.
Ethan has literally laid out the entire name. Levi on Woos or EK.
Levi on Woos or EK.
Yeah.
On Levi Woos or EK.
I'm just calling him Levi.
I think it's maybe Rike. I don't know. Yeah. Levi. Hopefully the Bucks don't draft him so they don't have to deal with this.
Levi from Washington. What a great guy.
Levi from Tampa.
From Washington. Ladies and gentlemen.
Kyle Trask is the pick. If Kyle Trask is picked at 32, I'm going to throw a chair. If they pick Kyle Trask, even at 64, they might drop their grade for me to already like a C.
I'd be so happy. If Trask is the pick at 32, I've seen some – this isn't going to happen. I've seen some people who love Kellen Mond so much they want him to be the pick at 32.
He's better than Kyle Trask, so.
So what I'm saying is that if we pick a quarterback 32, I'm going to be so happy next time I'm on here on this show. Just to see the mental breakdown of Evan.
Well, I don't know if it'll be a mental breakdown more than just disappointment. Like with the offseason we've had so far, I feel like picking a quarterback at 32 will be the biggest whiff of the offseason.
Oh my God, it'll be a 3-2 count, two outs, bases loaded, and you're down one and you just swing and miss.
I'd love it. Let's go. Get the QB of the future, baby. The QB of the future, baby. Pick 32.
If the QB of the future was actually good, then yeah, sure. But
hey, Packers traded up for Jordan Love. Anything is possible.
Jordan Love's better than Kyle Trask. Like,
let's go.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, real quick. Who's going, Rhett, who's going number three?
Probably Mac Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
James, who's going number three?
Justin Fields.
Okay. James, who are the Bucs picking at 32?
Gregory Rousseau.
Oh my God.
You ask me questions, I give you answers.
If the Bucs' first two picks are Gregory Rousseau and Kyle Trask, I'm gonna
I'm going to be so I'm going to come in here like, oh my gosh, and just celebrate.
Rhett, who are the Bucs picking at 32?
Joe Tryon, edge rusher from Washington.
All right, copycat. All right, so that'll pretty much wrap it up. I can't believe the draft is literally at this point. We're almost 24 hours away from it. It's kind of crazy.
It's wild, man. It feels like it's sneaking up. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us on this live edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Our people in the chat, Kevin522, the moderator holding it down, Willie Beeman, Vortex been talking to us, our buddy Ethan, the new Kings of Comedy, Fresh the Killer was also in
real,
here.
Real quick, because we haven't talked about it a ton. Sorry to interrupt.
You're good.
AA says, I want to upgrade Golson. Well, Andrew Adams, I'm sorry, but you play for Philly now. But the issue is that, like, Christian Barmore is, I think, is a solid player. I have him going 17th to the Raiders. I just don't think he's going to be anywhere close to 32. I just don't think so. Will either of you guys be live on CFP for live draft reactions, or will you just do the usual post-draft show? Well, we will do a usual post-draft show. But, James, what do you have cooking over there?
I am going to be live streaming all 3 days of the NFL.
The entire time, guys. The entire time.
I will be starting an hour before each time the draft starts, and then
we got the first round starting at 8, so you're going to start at 7. We got the second round starting at 7, so you're going to start at 6.
Yep.
And then the day 3 starts at noon, so you're going to start at 11.
Yep. So it's okay. All scheduled, all set. Everything's good on there. All I got to do is just hit the live button and go. Going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to be having a lot of guests on there.
Rhett'll be there. I'll be there. Rhett'll be there. What, day 1, you said, Rhett?
Yeah, day 1. Sometime tomorrow night, I'll be checking in and we'll talk some ball.
And then I'll be in there on day 2. So
yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I have a few guests from other teams as well that'll be talking about their picks. And it's going to be awesome.
Hell yeah. Make sure you guys go check it out. Subscribe to Mr. Bucs Nation here on YouTube so you don't miss a thing. Follow our podcast on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And, of course, Bucs news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can check out my co-host on Instagram at Bucs_daily, the number one Buccaneers fan page on Instagram. You can also find him on You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL. He did not start his own social media company. Let's get that clear.
Yeah, you can find me on EvanNFL, my own website.
Yeah, EvanNFL.com. That's exactly what it is.
Everything. Yeah.
Last but not least, follow myself on Instagram and Twitter at Rhetticus, RHETTAKUS. If you follow me, I will follow you back. Thank you once again to all of our people in here. Kevin, wrapping things up nicely. This show stinks. Yes, it does. Ladies and gentlemen, we will talk to you guys after the NFL draft. I am Rhett Matthew, signing off for my co-host Evan Wanish and, of course, our special guest James Hill. We'll talk to you guys later. Thank you so much for checking out this edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast presented by Bet Online. We'll talk to you later.